keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in, and welcome to the show. Make sure you check us out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time. And we're going to start going 5 days a week here pretty soon in the next, week or two. So that should be cool. We'll have a few new hosts, SM Gibson, which who knows, he may call in tonight as well. Make sure you bookmark us here on UCY so you can check us out all those days. Also joined by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing there?
Hey, man, just waiting on bated breath for, I hope, at least a few people to call in so we can discuss what everybody can watch right now live on the internet, which is, I guess, I would like to call it the dress rehearsal for the NDAA 2015.
Yeah, things are definitely going crazy right now in Ferguson. As probably most everybody knows that's listening, Darren Wilson was not indicted on any charges for the killing of Mike Brown. Now, you know, one of the big points that we've been making on the anti-media is that this is much bigger than just this one case, you know, and really what we're seeing here is just people being fed up with this police state, what it's become, especially this post-9/11, post-Patriot Act, NDAA stuff that we've grown to live under now. I think this is just a much larger thing, but you know, the main story tonight, obviously, is what's going on right now in Ferguson, because there's a bunch of protests popping off, going crazy. If you guys haven't seen the live video, you can check it out at the Anti-Media. It should be the top story on the header. But, yeah, I mean, this guy wasn't indicted, and I can't say it was the biggest surprise. There were so many leaks and, you know, the declaration of disaster and emergency and bringing in the National Guard and all that stuff. It was pretty much obvious what was going to happen, so I can't say I'm surprised. Now, all we can do now is see where we go from here. You know, this is the test, I guess you could say, of what's going to happen now in Ferguson. Are they going to usher in a martial law? Is in Ferguson area, is there going to be a bunch of huge protests tomorrow? I know there's stuff going off tonight in LA, and tomorrow in San Diego they're planning something, and I'm going to be there to take some pictures and stuff. I mean,
already going on in Times Square, 100,000 people already together, masked. It's 11 p.m. over there, and they, you know, that's going to make worldwide news. And if you look at what's going on, there's not badges being displayed right here, so you don't know really who's doing what. A lot of these people are probably private contractor types. That's what it's looking like to me. It says police, but they're looking like they're ex-military. And this is just a big research project. When the dollar collapses, this kind of action will be going on simultaneously in every city of consequence. And it's just a basically, you know, look at what they're doing. They're protecting very vital infrastructure. It's a test. There's really nothing of value in any of these buildings. It's all been moved already, but they're going to do this as a research project to see how it'll play out.
Well, you know, I've been watching the feeds ever since this whole thing got announced, and keep in mind the protests were going like long before they ever even announced the verdict of the grand jury or whatever. And so far, I mean, I haven't seen any widespread violence. There has been, though, one thing I want to point out is some people have been, they look a lot like agitators, man, and people have called them out on it. There were definitely agitators in there, but there hasn't really been any what you would call rioting. Now, there has been I was watching Cassandra's live stream from the Free Thought Project, which is also embedded there on the anti-media article. And I did see some guys flipping over a cop car, which, if you're going to do something, I mean, that's the thing to do. I'm not condoning it or anything like that. But I also saw a lot of the protesters standing in front of the local businesses, making sure nobody was going in. They formed like a sort of like human chain, and they're preventing any kind of looting from going on from any of these agitators or whatever you want to call them. Which is a good thing. I mean, they're keeping the message directed at these cops. Now, the cops are responding with a pretty heavy hand. I don't know if you saw the tear gas being thrown out and all that stuff, but they got all the militarized gear. They got the riot cops, obviously. They got the guys with the pepper spray balls, MRAPs, and all that stuff. And all this stuff's live right now. I'm watching it as we speak.
Yeah. I mean, this is all geared up. This is all military surplus, so to say. Personnel movers, like you said, MRAPs, and some real Humvees, and I did see, you know, something that looked a lot like an armored personnel carrier with no machine gun on top, which is a good thing, I guess. But yeah, they're ready to go. They're coming in. They're coming in by the 10s and the 12s and the 20s in these armored vehicles, and they're letting everybody film it. And it just doesn't matter. This is just like I said, it's kind of like watching a play or a theater. You know, hopefully no one gets hurt. There's a Walgreens on fire. You know, that's a huge corporation store. I can see where the angst is being taken out. And people have learned from the past. They learned from the Rodney King thing where they burned their own community. And for what? Why do that? Why screw the little guy out of it? You know, if I hate to say this, but the Walgreens is not really going to be too hurt about it. Insurance will cover them. And the people that work there will get jobs in maybe the places around them now that'll have more business.
Well, I hope everybody is able to stay safe out there, man, because we've got a few friends out there, and there's a lot of people out there. I don't even know how many are out in the streets right now, but looking at some of these videos, I mean, there's 300-400 people.
Probably a few thousand, I'd think, right?
Yeah, I mean, 5,000, 10,000, I don't know. There's a good amount of people out there.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think we have a caller on the line now. I think Manny's on the line. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Nick? How you doing, JB? DB. I'm already changing his name, huh? And stuff like that.
We're doing watching this stuff unfold here in Ferguson.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of tired, but just got back myself. Down there, it's just some keeping up. I did some good stuff down there. I bumped into you Thursday. I took a lot of hits from Acapulco, from the Mexican diplomats that I know down there, but do I care? No. And stuff like that. And I got back to L.A. and really everybody's knowing what I'm doing and stuff like that. And it's just really nice and stuff like that. We did the march, and one of the things I will tell you, that march, they had said to me, man, it hasn't rained here in San Diego for a long time. I took that as a blessing. Because they were raining, man, I was just like on fire anyway. This Latino, needed to cool down because I was hot inside, I was pumped up and the fire goes, stuff like that. Then we had a big deal on Friday at the Centro Cultural de la Raza. They did a great memory and stuff like that. Wait till they post some stuff. They did some good. They actually put 43 seats out there with the pictures and school books and pencils and stuff like that. That was really a really good thing and stuff like that, at Centro Cultural de la Raza, stuff like that. And then Sunday, basically a big snow goose gathering down in, you know, North County, you know, for world peace and stuff like that. So, and so it's kind of really been hearing that, you know, obviously Mike Brown's father wants to keep, you know, things under control and stuff like that. And of course, I don't have to tell you right now, Guerrero, those people down there are lined up, you know, with the Zapatistas. I've been talking to a lot of Zapatistas that came from Tijuana and stuff like that. It's just amazing, the movement at the Centro Cultural. I mean, there's some good people. We're getting a lot of support from everywhere and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, man, I was there. I actually got to catch your speech at the protests, and we're talking about the students from Ayotzinapa. How do you say it again, dude? I can never pronounce it correctly.
Los Maquistas and stuff like that, you know. And I'll tell you one thing. You saw how moved I was when that guy, I mean, he basically, you know, didn't want, in case you want to know, and of course, Dean wants to know, why did the cameras go off and everything? I respect, because it basically, it was emotional for me to hear his story, because basically it came down to this. His family happened to be the narcos in this case. And his cousin told him, you come back to Guerrero, I'll kill you myself and stuff like that. So he's in hideout and stuff like that. So that's why you saw the cameras go off and stuff like that. And you saw how moved I was. I mean, the spirit just took me over there. I had to hug that brother, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and just give him some love and stuff like that. And it wasn't just because he's from my home state of Guerrero. That's who I am, Nick, you know that, and stuff like that. Very passionate, and I'm yelling out there, and we're pumped up and really yelling, Peña Nieto needs to go. I mean, people are mad. We want him to leave the country. It's time. You know, we are calling him basically the narco president and stuff like that, and he's got to go and stuff like that. So his story was really moved. Another thing is, you saw that guy that actually spoke, you know, not the first guy, but the man that actually, he had basically a song, which in English you call a ballad, and it was a song, but it was a clean ballad. He has requested for us never to listen to ballads of narcos anymore. He wanted to say, let's do some ballads and stuff like that, and it was great. And it's almost like El Centro Cultural, I gave those brothers a hug too, because I said, thank you for cleaning up the rap, because I'm getting tired of this rap that is, you know, humiliating the women, degrading them, bitch, ho, blah, 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 and stuff like that. We got to have respect for our sisters and stuff like that. And it ain't going to beat by music. So that clean rap that these guys were doing at Centro Cultural on Friday night was also a great thing. And this guy's song was a really ballad without mentioning, you know, basically, los corridos of the narcos and stuff like that, Nick and Didi.
Yeah, man, I think I know what you're saying. Like, the music is very influential with a lot of this culture, man. So we were at this protest on Thursday, and, you know, these students in Mexico, 43 of them disappeared after clashing with police, and I can't help but think how this is related to Ferguson and what's going on in Ferguson right now. We know the verdict came out, and the guy was let off the hook. But you see the people now standing up to these guys, and now they're deploying tear gas, and they're using these military tactics against the people. But the thing I want to say, I guess, is that this is a rising tide that we're seeing all over the place, not just here in the U.S. in Ferguson, not just in Mexico. All over the place, there's this anti-authoritarian fervor that's going around, and it's being downplayed, and people are pretending that it doesn't exist. But I'm telling you, it does. And that's why that's the reason why they're starting to militarize the police and stuff, because they know. And that's, I think, why they kidnapped those kids down in Mexico, is because they're getting too organized. There's too many people getting involved, and it scares the hell out of the establishment, I guess you could say. We have another caller on the line from 920. How's it going? What do you want to talk about? Are you there? All right, they hung up. What were you going to say, Manny?
Nick, basically, the students, you know, when everybody asks me why these students got killed, they're fighting for democracy. They are thinking outside the box, and the machine does not want us to think outside the box, and that's here and everywhere else. But, you know, one of the things also that I want to mention to you, my day started at San Diego State. They had a thing down there, protest at San Diego State. It's getting more, I mean, I was kind of shocked. I said, wait a minute, it was very conservative, and now San Diego State's also very liberal. They actually putting, I should say, the flag down of the LGBT to basically, you know, I gave my brothers and sisters a lot of respect on that gender. How do you say it in English? Remembrance and stuff like that. So my day started, you know, giving a lot of love to the ABGT, also to the Palestinian friends. They were having a speaker at San Diego State at 7 o'clock at night. They invited me. They wanted me to meet the brother. I said, actually, you will see a picture of him. You know, they were really wanting somebody that's from Palestine to talk and stuff like that. But guess what? We never made it. Hello. Yeah, we never made it back because obviously, you know, we stayed with the city council for, I mean, the city council for a while, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. There's all kinds of good stuff going on down here now. You know, there's a bunch of awesome movements, and I think it's really a sign of the times, man. It's like every movement coming out together. We do have another caller on the line from 405 area. How's it going? What do you want to talk about?
Hello?
Hey, how's it going? You're on the line. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, man. I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, I'm over here with my friends, and we're actually just discussing the whole situation that's going on in Ferguson, man. And, you know, I've just been watching the anti-media and, you know, what Anonymous has been talking about and the whole, you know, linking Darren Wilson to the KKK and everything just getting out of control. And, you know, it sounds like they just want a more violent reaction from the people so that way they have an excuse, you know, to start hurting people and, you know, the police state and everything. But, you know, it's just destroying the whole country is what I think, man.
Well, I think we're starting to see what's going to happen in Ferguson, man, because I'm watching. I still got the live streams on here, and I don't see any rioting going on. Now,
they can't divide the youth at all. That's the thing. They can't divide the youth. And the older people are working, so everybody out on the street's not really falling for this crap anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at the video, it's not like a race-dominated thing, man. It's like a bunch of different people out there all kind of standing up against injustice, and which people are seeing larger, and we've been talking about this, it's much larger than just Ferguson, man. It's this whole police state, this whole creeping, this whole Patriot Act, NSA, militarization of the police. I mean, this is all this frustration boiling over, more or less. And that's why I think that despite the verdict, no matter what happens tonight, and I don't, like I said, I don't see any rioting or anything going on tonight. But what we're seeing is people standing up against the cops. Now, one of our writers is here in the studio with me, and he's telling me now that a second cop car has been burned. And there's still, it looks like they're still deploying tear gas, and they're trying to use crowd dispersal techniques. But so I see the police, I see the protesters putting their anger at the police, more or less. And like we mentioned earlier, there are people that are like protecting the local businesses. They're not looting or anything like that. So I don't know, man. These guys have been training for 3 months, and this is what we were talking about. You know, is it going to get out of hand? Is it going to be a bad situation? Is it going to look bad? So far, I don't think so, because all of the destruction has been directed at the police only and not at like anything else. So there were a few agitators at the beginning, but I think overall, so far, I think everything is going pretty well, and I think this is just the beginning of a bigger anti-police state movement that is getting kick-started right now.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to say all the brothers and sisters out there in Spanish about your show, okay? Nicky, este DD Shorts, el co-host, está básicamente diciendo las cosas que están pasando en México, en el estado de Guerrero, y también en la ciudad de Ferguson, en el estado de Missouri. Gracias.
So we got another caller on the line from 732 area code. How's it going? What do you want to talk about?
How's it going, Nick? This is Ali.
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
How's it going? Doing pretty good. I think it's interesting that President Obama is giving a speech on, you know, killing innocent children. You can kind of tell where I'm going with it.
Yeah, so I heard he was giving a speech. I didn't get to catch it, but did he already do it? It was like at 10 o'clock, right?
I mean, I personally don't listen to it. I don't know, and I don't care. I just know that. I mean, if Officer Wilson, you know, kills innocent black people, Obama blows him out of the water on just about everything, from drones to giving money to bomb Palestinian hospitals full of children. it's like, you know, I think President Obama is like, you know, has done as, or, and as well as Bush and Clinton and all the other war criminals before him, they've kind of almost put all these off, not to diminish what the, you know, that, that more Americans have died from police than have been killed in Iraq or by terrorist attacks. But it's like, we have to seek justice not only on, you know, the real domestic terrorists, which are the police officers, but, you know, these kind of, I think this issue of police brutality is directly related to war crimes, and I would love to, Darren Wilson walked free from, you know, committing murder. I would like to see that, you know, kind of sentiment, that outrage, that national outrage transition to, you know, these leaders, these so-called leaders are getting away with murder, and they're calling it, you know, patriotic wars of defense. We have to defend the country from, they're going to take away our freedom prize if we don't do that. So I think it's, I didn't listen to what Obama said, but I know that what he was saying is completely hypocritical. Just, you don't even need to listen. You just need to know by his actions that he is like, he also needs to be put before a grand jury, just like, Darren Wilson, for war crimes, along with, you know, every president since, World War One.
Yeah, man, I think it's like serial hypocrisy is what's going on, basically, and you're completely right. I mean, this guy's going to come out on his, you know, TV or whatever, YouTube, and he's going to basically say, yeah, you know, it's bad that people are dying and stuff, and we need to resolve this peacefully type of thing. Obviously, that's what Obama's going to say, but at the same time, like you were saying, he's over here dropping drone strikes on children in Afghanistan, which we just found out today. Well, obviously, it's been going on for a long time, but we found out that they're going to extend it. And, you know, dropping bombs on people in Iraq and Syria and Yemen, Somalia, all these countries that were in Pakistan. And, you know, he has the nerve to come out and condemn police violence. I mean, it's complete hypocrisy. But, I mean, it's good that he's speaking out, but, I mean, the guy is just talking out of the other side of his mouth, because everything that he does goes the opposite of what he's saying. And, in fact, his administration sat there and overlooked a lot of this militarization of the police. And then all of a sudden, Eric Holder's like, oh, well, we got to look at the reason why these police are being militarized. Well, dude, you helped do it. You know, you should know why it's being militarized.
And Holder's become the fall man, because look at all the garbage going on now about all these fake websites touting that he paid off gang members in Ferguson to start shit, and he organized all these provocateurs. Yeah, it's easy to blame the guy now that he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say about what that brother said about Barack and stuff like that. Latinos, he made us a promise 4 years ago. He hasn't kept us for... So I'm like, with that brother, I don't care when he talks, we could care less, because the Republicans are going to take over, and then we still are pushing them to pass that immigration stuff. I mean, it's been a long time and stuff like that, you know. I mean, you got to, when you can say something, you got to do it and stuff like that. And also believe that they should be dropping food and not bombs and stuff like that. And so, you know, I mean, I'm ready to take over the San Diego airport too, with some people and stuff like that. And hopefully Nick and DD will join me, you know.
How dare you take over our two runways?
Yeah, man. I mean, it all ties into this larger thing, because we got to keep in mind there's a reason they've been militarizing the police. There's a reason the police violence has been on the rise. There's a reason the mentality of the police has become this warrior cop instead of a peace officer. I mean, when the police were created, I mean, they were an institution that was supposed to protect our civil liberties, civil rights and stuff like that. They're supposed to uphold our rights, right? But now, like, every time you get pulled over, the chances are that the cop's going to try to undermine your rights and try to search your vehicle or try to do all kinds of stuff without a warrant, even though it's unconstitutional. I mean, these guys are trained to break the Constitution now. They are no longer peace officers. They've become agents, you know, more like Gestapo type of officers, where their main goal is to undermine your rights, not uphold them. And that's a huge problem. And that mentality, if we're going to salvage what's left of the police, and I don't even believe in police. I think that we should have community-based, solutions. But if we're going to overcome this, I mean, there has to be a complete change in the mentality of a police officer. They have to become peace officers once again and no longer become these crooked agents of the state, which they've become in the past, I don't know, 50 years or so. Especially after 9/11, they've been justified to do all this crazy stuff. Fortunately, because of the alternative media and the independent media, we've been able to start shining light on this stuff. So we're able to show the live stream, the ones that we have on the anti-media right now, where it's showing a police tear gassing these people, and there's like journalists right there, and there people are getting hit with tear gas canisters and stuff like that. We're able to show the inside view.
It's just smoke.
What was that?
Oh, I said the corporate media is just saying that it's just smoke.
Yeah, man, and so CNN got booted out of the place. Nobody would talk to them. They're trying to get interviews, and everyone's like, "No, we don't talk to CNN." So, I mean, we're seeing a lot of progress in that area too, man. People are starting to say, you know what, yeah, the corporate media is horrible, especially the people in Ferguson. They see how they twisted the story, made it seem like all it was a bunch of looters and stuff. And, I mean, man, I was looking at the Facebook comments today, and a bunch of people are like, oh, yeah, these people are just looters. They deserve what they're getting. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Only a few little tiny stores got looted. There was a bunch of peaceful people out there that got tear gassed, which is a banned chemical weapon. And, you know, people are still trying to justify that because a lot of people are still getting their information from the corporate media and from all this other disinformation stuff.
Just think about it logically. Why would you loot right before Black Friday?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, man, I mean, I think that this is more or less a reflection of the sentiment that's going on. The reason that they've militarized the police, the reason why they're overreacting so hard in Ferguson is because they're trying to scare people into getting in line, because the sentiment is rising, man. Everywhere that I've been traveling for the past few weeks. I've been back in San Diego now for like a half week, but I was traveling before that, and everywhere I went, man, young people like get everything. They understand what's going on. They know what's going on. A lot of people know about the Fed. A lot of people know about the foreign policy. People are done judging people, and if you look at the videos from the protests tonight, I think that's pretty evident. People are getting it, and they're not going to put up with all these lies and all this media manipulation anymore.
We're not going to hate for arbitrary reasons anymore. It's going to be on a person-to-person basis because it backfired. All the political correctness in a way that they tried to push on everyone and make everyone, you know, a slave to the state and all the procedure, it backfired because now nobody has these preconceived notions. Not any of the younger generation does in any of the big cities.
All right, we're getting another call in right now.
Yes, I just saw your post on Facebook.
Sure, yeah. What do you want to talk about? We're talking about Ferguson right now.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ferguson. You have a poster on Facebook that says Free Ferguson, and I really like it. But I'll tell you what, if this keeps up, America's going to look like the Middle East with people having to fight to get their honor back and the police acting like Gestapo. This is ridiculous. I mean, how many more black kids got to get killed before something's done?
Yeah, man, I agree. It's not looking good, you know, and the what's going on in Ferguson right now isn't an isolated situation, potentially at least, because the militarization of the police has been going on all over the country, and we're talking about small towns. I mean, there were reports of towns with like less than 5,000 people that were getting MRAPs and all these military.
Utah's the worst.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and
so
the bad thing about this. Now I'm a Vietnam vet. What the hell are police doing with the same weapons that I was issued in order to, quote-unquote, protect this damn country? And what happens is that they turn the same weapons on people who are peacefully protesting. I'm surprised Ferguson hasn't been hit with bombs. I'm really amazed at people trying to say be peaceful and sing songs and whatnot, while in the meantime, the police are sitting up there with AK-47s and sniper rifles pointing at them. I mean, we are not Nazi Germany. This is supposed to be America.
Yeah, man, and a lot of this has been changing in the past, I don't know, decade because of the Patriot Act and all this surplus military stuff coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's been disseminated to a lot of these police forces. And unfortunately, there was an ACLU report out about it maybe, I don't know, a few months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, about this mentality that it builds, because simply by the fact of these cops, which are, like you said, they're supposed to be, you know, protecting us, they get this mentality when they get all these militarized weapons and all this militarized gear. They really get this kind of, what do you call it, Rambo mentality, more or less, where they want to try out all their stuff, and they get this, you know, kind of, I don't know, testosterone overload on this weaponry, and they want to put it to use, and they do. And that's why you see so many people getting, in the past, I don't know, couple of years, you see so many people getting killed by the police, even though the fact is that the amount of people, you know, doing violence towards the police has gone way down, and the overall amount of violence in the country has gone down, but the amount of police violence against the people has gone up. But the reason being, I think, is because so many people, especially young people, and also a lot of veterans as well, are questioning, like, what in the hell is going on? Why is the NSA spying on every single person? Why are these cops shaking people down in New York City? I mean, why are so many people getting taken out by the cops? And now, I don't think this is something that's new. I think this problem has been existing for a very long time. But what has changed is the technology that we have. We're able to live stream. We're able to take video when police are doing horrible things. We're able to take video of these checkpoints, you know. So
you're right. And I tell you what, I'm going to give you a little prediction here. And I don't care who thinks what of it. But if this keeps up, America is going to look like the Middle East. You're going to have black, Hispanic, people of color throwing Molotov cocktails at the police and the NSA and people of that ilk who have guns. America will wind up in a civil war. And we're one step closer tonight because of the ignorance, the racism, the bigotry, the homophobia, the complete lack of respect coming from those who are supposed to protect us. And then you see the politicians get on TV trying to say, oh, well, it's the protesters, it's their fault. But then you have sniper rifles. So, yeah, let them keep on going. America will look like the Middle East soon enough.
Yeah, man.
Well, you probably mentioned America. Latin America, it's already on fire. I mean, we're already, you know, taking over airports, throwing everything. So it's already happened in Acapulco. I mean, you can go to get trained up there, you know, so you can get prepared to what's going to happen down here, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel bad for it because the Americans have never seen war. They haven't seen people with their heads blown off, or they haven't seen somebody walk up with a bomb attached to them and take out as many people as they could. But America's going to get introduced, and I hope that they remember this night, because this night has started the whole damn thing, and there's nothing that this country, this racist, can do about it.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you know, all we see now is this huge police state bearing down on people, and it is pretty discouraging. But I am pretty encouraged by what's been going on, and like I said, it's a huge show of unity, a huge show of solidarity down in Ferguson right now.
And don't worry about racists taking over. If me and Nick need to get involved with all our buddies down here, I mean, we're a pretty big city, and we all have friends of every single race and creed and color, and we don't care anymore. We're all bros, And the younger generation has to step up and stop this nonsense. And I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, yeah. It's already happening. Like I was saying, man, everywhere I've been, the young people are not buying into this crap. And this old way of controlling people's thoughts and controlling our social behaviors and stuff like that, it's gone out the window with the advent of the internet. You know, and so things have changed, and they can no longer control the narrative. They can't control Twitter. They can't control Facebook. All of our information is reaching a lot of eyes. A lot of people are seeing it, and I think it's changing a lot of people, man. And a lot of people are starting to realize, okay, well, we got to reject this government. When Manny was talking about at the beginning of the show, there was a guy that had a family member that was apparently he had a cousin that was one of the kids that got kidnapped down in Mexico, one of the 43. And he also had family members that were part of cartel, of the cartel mm-hmm. gangs and stuff. This guy was saying, he's like, hey, it's not enough just to say, yeah, screw the government and throw Peña Nieto in jail, throw the president in jail and all that stuff. You got to stand up to the cartels, and you got to live the lifestyle of resisting the government, man. And this is one of the major prevailing ideas that are going on right now in Mexico, and I think that's why Mexico is such an important piece of the whole puzzle right now, because these guys are already testing the waters with this kind of anarchistic type of societies, with these self-defense groups that have kicked out government, kicked out cartels, and the Zapatista movement, and I think that's why, you know, what these kids were doing. The reason why they're cracking down so hard, why would they kidnap 43 kids? Well, it's because the people are getting over there, the people are getting so organized. They're starting to scare the hell out of the government. So now they're just trying to start kidnapping the ones that are organizing the stuff, because they're trying to put this stuff down before it boils over. Fortunately and unfortunately, this has kicked the movement into high gear, more or less, especially in Mexico, where now there's a very big revolutionary fervor going on. I saw it at the protests here, even in San Diego. These guys are ready almost for another revolution. And fortunately for Mexico, they've got a lot of these underlining ideas with these self-autonomous groups and stuff like that, that are actually good ideas. You know, these guys are actually getting rid of government altogether. That's what's so scary, man. And what's also scary is that the U.S. government is going to step in. I guarantee you they're going to step in at some point, and they're going to say that they're going to protect democracy and they're going to help people out. But no, I think that's one thing that we need to address too, is that we don't want to fall for that, man. If the US goes in there, you know, it's going to come out with a puppet on the other side. So I think Mexico needs to also resist the idea of the US intervening, man. I think that would be horrible.
Yeah, it would be horrible, but you know what? I like what you said about young people. I'm, like I said, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm an old fart. And I won't say hope. I almost want to say I pray that young people actually get out there. They don't accept this crap that's been going on from the police, or as I call them, the Gestapo. They don't accept the crap from the Republican Nazi Party. And they don't accept crap from a government that turns a blind eye to young people getting shot by the Gestapo. Like I said, this is not Nazi Germany. We are not under the gun, nor should we accept surveillance or accept anything from this government that isn't what it was supposed to be. A lot of us fought and died so that we didn't have to live under the thumb of oppression. Well, oppression's here, and it's about time that we change it.
Yeah. What the government did make, the mistake they made, is they're killing a lot of young people and they're doing this and this. This is the big mistake that the government did. It's basically a very religious thing that, you know, if you kill somebody, you leave them in the door when they were cutting heads, it wasn't as bad as stuff like that. The reason this revolution really started is it's basic a culture thing. You burn the bodies. That is a sacred thing that you just don't do. You can do graffiti in Mexico all day long. Nobody's going to say nothing. But you put graffiti on the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe, look out. Look out.
That's why I like. I love Mexico because they believe in honor. They believe in treating kids right. And even though they might not have as much as this full country, I think that they're on the right track. I think that Mexico's on a better track than America.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you, especially when it comes to their revolutionary ideas and stuff like that. But I think that's where we need to also learn some lessons for here, man, is you know, there is all this angst and all the young people, and keep in mind the young people are the, well, I just to speculate, when you went to Vietnam, you were probably in your 20s, I'm guessing.
No, I was 18 when I went to Vietnam, and I did not have a choice in the matter. I was lucky enough, though, that I wasn't a ground pounder. I was a combat photographer. And the things I saw and the things I photographed, I could never, there are some things I could never say anything to anybody about. But I was still 18, and I was very much gung-ho, and the government's right, and I'm wrong, and everything else. And unfortunately, I found out by being over there that I was wrong. When I say we, I mean those of us that worked in the photo lab had smokes on top of cans of Agent Orange. Nobody told us that it would cause us problems later on in life. We got shot at. We didn't know why. All we were told was we are protecting America, when in reality we were protecting Dow Chemical and a few other people that wanted to test things out. As a matter of fact, to your listeners, ask them the next time that they use Roundup or any weed killer, take a good close look. That's Agent Orange that's been watered down.
Yeah, I've heard that, man. And yeah, there was a bunch of Vietnam vets that were affected negatively by this Agent Orange stuff and all these horrible...
One of them. I'm one of them. As a matter of fact, right now I'm under doctor's care.
So you were...
40 years or 30 years or however long for that crap to get through my system, but they found it in my system after all this time.
Wow. Yeah, man, that's... crazy what they do to our guys, and a lot of the veterans now are having this epidemic of suicide and stuff. But
I cry about that. I really do.
As you were saying, you were you joined up or you were drafted when you were 18, and that's the point I was really trying to get to, is that the young people are the people that have to go out there and do the fighting.
Yep.
And if all the young people are able to start realizing, okay, now we know what's really going on. There's a police state. There's a Federal Reserve basically looting. You want to talk about looting? I mean, the Federal Reserve is looting every single person in the country, if not the world. So, you know, people are starting to realize that there's this growing police state. We're all being spied on by the NSA. The Federal Reserve is robbing everybody blind. They're looting everybody, but it's behind the scenes. And for the longest time, I think the corruption in the U.S., the police brutality, think back. Let's go back a little bit to the 90s. And you got the Rodney King beating, right?
Yep.
Now, why was there so many riots going on? Why did these laws pass? Well, the laws passed because of the rioting. Keep that in mind. And the reason people started rioting was because there was finally video. There was finally technology to say, okay, I can record this video of this police beating and I can post it, or I can send it to a media outlet and the media outlet can run it. Well, now, thanks to the internet, anybody that deals with any kind of police brutality, they don't have to send it to a media outlet. All they got to do is go to YouTube and upload it. And this is what is drawing a lot of this injustice, a lot of this police state, a lot of these horrible things that have been going on to people in this country for a very, very long time. The technology and the internet is allowing us to draw all this stuff out into the open, and that's why we're starting to see so many people get upset about what's going on in Ferguson. People so upset about what happened to John Crawford's. People so upset about what just happened to that kid in Ohio that got shot, the 12-year-old boy that had a BB gun. I mean, people are starting to finally stand up to this stuff because we have the technology to spread this information. For the longest time, it was monopolized by these large media companies or whatever. Now we got Twitter, now we got Facebook, now we got YouTube, and all these other apps like Ustream and Livestream that are completely changing the game. And since young people are the ones that turn to the internet for the majority of their information, the median age of people that watch corporate media, the youngest group is on like MSNBC, and they're like 56 years old. The median age of a person that watches Bill O'Reilly is 72 years old. I mean, we're talking about people that watch this crap on TV are like not connected to the internet, but the younger people are the ones that are actually watching these live stream videos. And if you look right now on the anti-media, on the on one of the live streams that we have embedded on the site by Bassem Masri, I mean, he had something like 90,000 viewers when he went offline. And then Rebel Z right now has 20,000 viewers.
Yeah.
I mean...
You got out of jail already, Nick?
What's that?
He got out of jail already. Remember I told you that he got his camera hit and then he went off stream and then Revolution C took over?
Yeah, man, they're switching off. I can tell they're switching off live streams. When one guy goes live, the other guy will go off. But Revolutionary Z right now has 20,000 people on his live stream. You know what I mean? That's more people than are watching. There's more people watching that live stream than there are watching CNN.
You know what will happen bad about his effort, you know, down here in L.A.? All of a sudden, his cousin is rapping, no problem, but he's rapping too hard. He's becoming too popular, rapping against the cops. Now they found out that they're going to find something on him and lock him up. You know what I mean? What type of justice is that, you know?
Well, like I said, I just wish they'd drop a bomb on these damn... I can't even believe that in this day and age, there are that cops are acting like this. Cops! They're supposed to protect and serve. Bullshit. I told my grandson, do not trust the police. Every time I see him, I want him to understand that the police, he's a target. That's all they would see. He's biracial. And I told him, you're a target. You are part black, part white. But I guarantee you, if a cop finds out that you are part black, he's immediately going to think that you're some type of thug.
Yeah, man, these guys definitely do a lot of racial profiling, and I think that's one of the big reasons why a lot of people got really upset in Ferguson, because they've been dealing with this for so long. I saw some statistics a while back about the arrest rates and the pullover rates, the search rates and stuff, and it's largely the minority community, black and Hispanic, get targeted by these cops out in the Ferguson-St. Louis area. And it's just horrible, man. And people are ready to stand up against this institutional racism. And there's racism that permeates all over the place. And I'm watching the Revolutionary Z live stream right now, and the cops look like they're... advancing their line here, and they're in front of a semi now. But yeah, there's a huge line of cops holding down this line, and the protesters are just standing around. Basically, there's a guy laying down. I don't know if he got hit by some kind of projectile or anything, but he's like laying down right now. But
Nick, let me tell you something that happened in Mexico. Okay, the Thursday when we were down there, you know, basically put some heat on the Mexican consulate and through him putting some heat on Peña Nieto, the president, is the military, for the first time, they had to leave. They couldn't take over the Zócalo to do their military honors, blah, blah, blah. So what they did is the military came in and picked up everything and they decided to cancel the parade that they do every year. Why? Because the Zócalo was so packed with protesters. They said, we just can't do it this year. That's the power that we're finally getting out there, and it's really working nice. You wait till we put up my journal trying to, you know, wait till we put up, we interviewed these young kids, the young lady that was coordinator at Centro Cultural de la Raza. You should see the, her speech of what she said and stuff like that. And she's telling her your own young people. She said, stop watching these, you know, letting the media tell you to watch, how do you pronounce her name? Kardashian? You know, you don't try to say, you know?
Kim Kardashian, yeah. The media distraction.
Manny, I know you're up in L.A. Do you go around Crenshaw? Because I heard they're, I guess, gathering there just like in Times Square.
Oh, yeah, stuff like that. I still actually hang out down there where, you know, Yvel got shot down right on his driveway. I still go to the memories because, you know, like this brother said, that I appreciate him acknowledging the respect that we do have for our, you know, our young people in Mexico, and I wish the United States would learn more of that, because we're kind of cold-blooded. But, you know, one of the things I love that you said, Stevie, is that, you know, we're all both down there in San Diego, and that's great. You know why? Because it's so sad that you've been you have a neighbor that's been your neighbor for 3 years, and you follow along and say hi to them once. We need to get out, turn off the TV, and that's one of the best things that happened to me one day. Everybody in L.A. says, how come you're not worried about your TV being off, your electricity being off? Because that's how we got to meet our neighbors. I mean, everybody was out sitting outside, you know. I wish it happens again once in a while, stuff like that, you know. And so we took our little, you know, home down there that night, stuff like that. We won't say on the air, but, you know, Mr. Ladies Man over here, Nick, you know. I mean, I said, no problem, Nick. I'll come to your hood, you know, next time, and, you know, I'm sure we'll do something, you know. So appreciate it and stuff. But, you know, BB, we're so impersonal here in the United States. You know, there's a lot of things that we can learn from Mexico and stuff like that. But one of the things I do love, you know, that your show does, and, you know, of course with Nick, you know, that, you know, we have to educate our young people that my fight is your fight and your fight is my fight, because there's still some brothers out there, brown and black, they're wondering, what's Ferguson got to do with, you know, Guerrero, and the same thing over there? What's Guerrero got to do with Ferguson? Those people need to wake up, you know?
Ferguson is a global fight, man. Ferguson is a global fight, and I'll tell you why. Because the U.S., and I'm sure our caller from 916 can kind of reinforce me on this, the battle in the U.S. to regain control of our government affects almost every country. And like I was even saying about Mexico, man, Mexico, they're going to try to intervene on that too, just like they're intervening in Iraq and Syria and all these other countries, and now Afghanistan, they're extending it. The fight in the U.S. and this whole thing right now in Ferguson, it's much bigger than just one town. It's much bigger than one country, man. Our reach is global. We've got 1,000 military bases in over 100 countries. So everything that we do here in the U.S., whatever it is that we can do, I mean, just think about it in terms of U.S.-Mexico relations. The drug war in the U.S. affects Mexico hugely, and it affects them very negatively. That's what creates all the drug cartels and everything, just like the same way Prohibition created the mafia. So it's so important for the people here in the U.S. to regain control, and it's so important right now in Ferguson. If this indeed is the straw that at least starts to break the camel's back, I think this is what, you know, the world needs. The world needs the U.S. to regain control of its government. Otherwise, everybody in the world doesn't have a great chance at creating true freedom or true liberty, whatever it is they're looking for. Just like Ukraine, just like in Syria, it'll get co-opted unless we can regain control of this rogue U.S. government. And you know, of course,
and it will. Either we only have two choices: we'll either control it, or, as you say, it'll get co-opted. And if it's the latter, I can't wait to watch the news and watch these talking heads wonder why the country's in a civil war. All they need to do is to look at the way the United States has conducted itself. Look at the way that petrochemical and greed has taken over the United States. And look at what the United States has done to its own people, not the rich.
But in that same aspect, in that same aspect, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the situation at hand right now. You're covering the Ferguson issue, okay? The Ferguson issue right now at hand. Now let's look at this whole thing in the great grand view of everything. Do you think for 1 second that these people did not already have this shit already staged to where everything they expected a fucking riot in every city, okay? I followed you on Facebook for a long time, but tonight you really pissed me off. Because of the fact that it seems like you failed to see the greater outlook on everything that was actually happening. This is planned. If you cannot see this, this has been planned out by our government.
Well, I think this is a test run.
This is a test run to see how well martial law will work, not just statewide. Okay, we've already had that happen. We've already had that happen in Boston. We've already had that happen in several other cities along the way. Now let's see what happens on a national scale.
Yeah, I definitely think you have a point, because I think that, especially the fact that they already called the National Guard up before.
Yeah, and 100% agree. We said that at the beginning. This is just a dress rehearsal for exactly for what you're saying, NDAA 2015.
But
exactly. I'm not sure.
No worries, man. I mean, we appreciate the dialogue. We got a round table going here. We just got another caller that just joined us in San Diego as well. But I think that you really touch on a good point there, because these guys already had the National Guard called up. They already had a state of emergency. And then if you looked at any of these live stream videos that were coming out at the very beginning, there were definitely some agitators embedded within these protests. But luckily, I think these guys, a lot of the people were well-trained, and they actually knew what was going on, and they were able to out a lot of these agitators at the beginning, which is why we're not seeing rioting going on. I mean, if you see the live stream, there isn't any rioting going on. There's been a few things have been destructed, which both of them were cop cars, which I don't... if you're going to destroy anything, then direct it at the right source, which is at the police state. So I think that... is not something that I would criticize, but there was also people that formed.
Love Machine on the line here. Pretty much, if you're gonna pretty much destroy the police force, pretty much in a sense, pretty much the police establishment. It cannot be done by pretty much burning cops or taking one police officer out at a time, even if it's 99%. Of the police force. Pretty much, I put this as a suggestion. The last time we had a protest in San Diego, the pretty much, although it might be a little in crying out to the desert per se, but it might be worth a shot. Pretty much, call your mayor, call your police chief, call your city councilman, whatever, and force your policeman to go through a CAT scan checkup to make sure that they are not psychopaths. Because psychopaths, they cannot feel love or empathy for their fellow human being.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if they had a test for that. Unfortunately, they screen these cops and they only allow the dumbest ones in, and that's
that's not a part of the police academy, unfortunately, these days. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Hey, we're coming to the end of the show actually here, guys. I hate to cut you guys off early. I do want to just... sum this thing up, man. This stuff's going off in Ferguson. If you guys want to, we got to end the show now, but make sure you check out our live stream going on the anti-media. It's the first story, theantimedia.org, if you want to see what's going on. So far, there's no rioting. There's been tear gas dispersed, shots fired. We don't know from who. Keep up to date. We're going to have to see how this thing pans out. Who knows? Catch you guys on Wednesday.
Yep. All right. Okay. Good night. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.